It's time for Over There with Mirella Rostroffer. Mirella is our European correspondent. She joins us weekly. She is, I believe, in Switzerland still. Hi, is that true?
Hi, Jill. Yes, absolutely. From snowy Zurich, a few news on the topic we discussed last week, which were new laws that were being voted on the weekend, and then a few words on a growing, I would say, an escalation of tension at the borders of Ukraine. If you remember, Jill, last week we had three important topics to vote on Sunday, and the results have been more or less what the polls were predicting. The first one was about having helping improve the working conditions for nurses, because there is a lack of nurses in Switzerland. I believe not only in Switzerland, but I can be sure of this information, and making them work really overtime, and considering what's going on with the COVID-19 virus, the overtime became really very heavy. And all sorts of other things can be improved. Of course, the salaries, the working conditions, the recognition, but also the learning and the continuous improvement of the profession. That has been accepted by 61%. So it's a very clear, significant victory. Especially because the government suggested to vote no in exchange of putting money, and that is a lot of money, 1 billion over the next 8 years to maintain quality standards. But the point here was to actually increase quality standards by helping nurses to have an acceptable working life and acceptable conditions. That has been accepted and will have to be implemented by the government. The other topic we voted on was to vote in order to be able to elect Supreme Court judges by lot rather than by the Swiss Parliament. That has been rejected by a very heavy 68%. That means that the voters in their majority think that it is still the job of the Swiss Parliament to elect the Supreme Court judges. The campaigners were, of course, very disappointed because they were arguing that the separation of powers was inadequate and lacked independence from political parties. That might be partially true, because right now the parliament gives the post of federal judges according to party strength. That also means, for example, that a judge that has no affiliation would have absolutely no chance to be given a post. So this is a topic where everybody knows that there is a little bit of a problem there with independence, but to have a lottery seemed to be a solution that the majority didn't think was acceptable. I'm sure there will be other development on that subject, but at least this one is dealt with now. And the last but not least was about the COVID-19, the certificate, the green pass that everybody needs to go into restaurants or theater or museum, or for that matter, to travel also to our neighboring countries. The campaigners thought that there was some kind of discrimination, and they wanted to have all of this taken away, including also the financial help for businesses that are in difficulties because of the current situation. The majority of the voters, which is 62%, did accept the COVID laws, meaning that the campaigners lost one more time, because this is the second time that we vote on this subject. Last time was in June, and it was also accepted by 60.1%, if I remember correctly, percent. This time it's 62%. It's not a major increase, but it is a clear majority. Anything that is above 60% can be regarded as a good result. So financial aid, COVID certificate, and whatever restrictions are necessary have basically the blessing of the population for the second time. It is probably the only country in the world that has been able to vote not one time, but two times on accepting basically that the government has to, unfortunately, take measures in order to block this pandemic, especially now when in the horizon we have this by now famous Omicron variant looming over the world. This is a time, of course, in Europe of big tension because of the pandemic. That means that the governments are extremely busy with taking care of this aspect of our current situation. And it is, in a way, the perfect moment for troops to gather at the Ukraine border when, you know, the European Union is already overwhelmed with so many other issues. That being said, the NATO, as well as the United States, have warned Russia that they would not hesitate in case of aggression to take some economic, financial, and political sanctions again. That reminds us a little bit of the crisis of 2014, where at the time there had been already many casualties, I believe around 15,000, 14 to 15,000. The new aspect here is the support of Belarus with doing some joint military drill with Russia on the border of Ukraine. Of course, all the countries, Germany, France, the UK, have warned as well and find this high activity suspicious. But until now, the answer was that they have the right to do exercise, military exercise, where it pleases them without basically having to give any explanation. That is added to the crisis that the European Union has already with Belarus over the immigrants, mostly from the Middle East, sent to the borders of Poland in order to basically kind of divide the countries in the European Union on what to do, how to do it, and what in which way it's possible to basically help, because this is what we can call without any doubt a human disaster, and at the same time show some strength, because obviously this is a tactic that is for the European Union not acceptable. So as you can see, Jill, a lot of things going on, a lot of things around the pandemic, obviously. But that being said, also a very delicate situation at the moment, where maybe some countries might want to take advantage of a general kind of political, societal, and economical distress in Europe, and I would tend to say in many other countries as well.
Thank you very much, Mirella Rostroffer. Over there.
My pleasure.